So thank you for showing up. So this is a paper basically where we looked at US data for the first time, and coming from a health economics background, the three of us are health economists, we try to look at an alternative to the expected utility model when it comes to cancer screening uptake. So here we're going to look at reference-dependent decision-making in colorectal cancer screening. So reference-dependent decision-making basically comes from prospect theory, which is a behavioral economics, more psychology model. So just a bit of my background. Previously, we've looked mainly in Europe and Ireland. In Europe, we found that population-based or organized screening programs improved appropriate screening uptake, and it also reduced socioeconomic gradients. We went more in depth when it came to a particular health system, which was the Irish health system. It has a screening program quite like Taiwan. So it's free to individuals for three specific screens in the relevant age groups. So you get invited every 3 to 5 years or every 2 years for breast cancer. But yet we still found some sort of socioeconomic differences in this free invitational group, mainly around this private health insurance variable. We didn't have any information upon psychosocial measures, worry, or other innate characteristic determinants. So in order to try and figure out what may be underpinning the decisions rather than socioeconomic variables, we went to the US data, which is HINTS. In the literature, socioeconomic variables are very important in terms of access, being able to pay for screening, free screening, information from, say, being more educated. But recently, people have started to delve deeper into this, and socioeconomic variables may act as surrogates or indicators of motive rather than explaining the decision of having a screen per se. So there's other psychosocial measures such as worry, subjective risk, fear, how much you know about a cancer, which is very important, and it hasn't been brought into cancer screening models too much. So colorectal cancer screening is a terrible disease here. There's over 50,000 deaths every year in the US. It's increasing all the time. Over half the cases, I think, are diagnosed in their later stages, even though there is 3, if not 4, effective screening programs. So colonoscopy or screening test. So colonoscopy can reduce deaths by roughly 60%. But uptake, as I said, is low, especially compared to other maybe less effective screens such as prostate cancer or PSA screening. So what I'm going to look at here and explain a bit further is we're going to look at future intended endoscopy, which is colonoscopy or flexible sigmoidoscopy. In our data, we were not able to differentiate between these two, and also just your simple fecal-to-occult blood test. We're going to look at endoscopy over the next 5 years and FOBT over the next 2. So the data that we use is the Health and Information and National Trend Survey. I'm not sure, most people seem to know about this, but I'm not sure if everybody does. It's very worthwhile having a look at. It's free, you can download it in about 2 minutes. So we use the data from 2003. So it's quite good in terms of cross-sectional socio-demographic characteristics. They use a jackknife method, so you're able to have your results representative of the whole population. And the best bit about it is it's quite unique in terms of it includes questions on individuals' perceptions about cancer, whether they've sought information on cancer, previous cancer screening, whether a family member has died of cancer. So it goes into these psychosocial measures a lot better than most data. And it also has good demographics like income, education. So the two variables we're going to look at today, the first is subjective worry. So in this data, subjective worry asks, how often do you worry about getting colon cancer? It's separated into 4 different categories. We binarized this variable. Oh, I thought there was somebody else going into. So we binarized this variable. On 0, we have rarely or never versus sometimes, often, or all the time. So this gives us a 70-30 breakdown on whether or not an individual worries about getting colon cancer. Our second variable is subjective risk. So this asks, how likely do you think you will develop colon cancer in the future? Again, we have 5 categories. We binarize them again. With very low and somewhat low together versus moderate, somewhat high, and very high, which gives us a ratio of about 65-35. So the research question we wanted to ask was a real health economics question, and I thought coming to this public health, we might get a better understanding of what we actually see in our results. So I'm not going to get bogged down into this too much. But basically, we asked, does prospect theory provide a better characterization of individual screening uptake compared to expected utility theory? So expected utility theory is just your basic status quo theory which underpins most economic models. So it's based on rational choice theory, so you'll maximise your utility if you can. So in terms of cancer screening, individuals will decide to screen if their expected utility from screening exceeds that from not screening. Okay, so people are homo economists, they're rational individuals. And here the decision is seen to be independent of individuals' reference points. Sorry. Prospect theory, on the other hand, is like the counter argument to this. It comes from a more behavioral economics, like psychology foundation. And here it's individuals' reference point, so they base their decision to have a screen on something, may influence how they respond to a risky situation, like finding out you have cancer. So the reference point here is our level of worry from our worry question, and our risky situation is perceived risk, chance, or susceptibility of having colon cancer. We assume, and this model assumes, that individuals are loss averse, i.e. we prefer a gain more than a loss. But if you were to compare losses to gains, you weigh losses greater than gains, okay? So two individuals may treat an identical outcome, i.e. finding cancer or not finding cancer, differently in terms of their utility or the value they put on this, depending on their reference point. So I'll get into that a bit further in a few minutes. We're going to examine intention to screen, as I said, rather than previous screening. Firstly, we did this because we want to look at asymptomatic screening. So a lot of the time when individuals have gone for a screen, it may be symptomatic in nature. Here we assume that worry is independent of symptoms, so they haven't come up with symptoms yet. And by intending to screen, you're more likely to say you go for, you know, asymptomatic screening. Second of all, the wording of our question on worry is in the present tense. The wording on perceived risk or susceptibility is future orientated. So we've modeled this on previous screening too, but because individuals answer this question compared to future screening, you know, you're going to change your answer whether or not you've gone for a screen before. And we also believe that, you know, variables which underpin screening happen a priori. So there's a decision window when an individual makes the decision to have a screen or not. That could be 2 minutes before they go into the door or 2 years. You know, there's a lot of factors which underpin this. But these psychosocial factors will underpin this before they make the decision. So this has kind of been looked at before using this data. Moser and a few others at the NCI used subjective risk, which they said was a cognitive variable, and perceived susceptibility, an effect variable, to look at previous uptake of a range of cancers, including endoscopy and FOBT. So they looked at them individually and collectively. Individually, they were positively correlated with having had a screen. Their interaction term, which is basically high worry, high risk versus low worry, low risk, produced a negative interaction term, but it wasn't significant. And we claim by looking in the future, as I stated previously, it might be a better way of looking at this. So we just have a simple economic model, cost and benefit. So an individual can either screen or not screen, and a cancer will either be found or not found. So there's a cost for going to the screen, there's a cost for paying for treatment, there's a cost to finding a cancer, but that cost may be reduced or depreciated by earlier detection of this early detection of the cancer leading to better treatment. We do not include false positives or false negatives in our theoretical model, mainly because an individual may not know too much about these before the screen, and if they do, they're likely to change quite considerably across individuals. And also, we couldn't include it in our empirical results, so we didn't see much point putting it in our theoretical model. So expected utility theory, as I said, it states individuals will screen to reduce the future depreciation of their health capital or their human capital from any prevalent cancer. So this is from Don Kenkel's 1994 seminal paper on this. Uses the Grossman model to look at preventative medicine. So basically, you incur your costs in the present time, but you can only incur your benefits or maybe acquire any benefits in the future. So using our two variables, you'd expect high worry individually to lead to increased cancer screening. You'd expect high risk to increase cancer screening. And collectively, in terms of your interaction term, high worry and high risk together should see the highest increase, and it should be increasing, okay, from a rational point of view. But in terms of expected utility theory, there's a lot of people have come out lately and determined. It's very good in terms of the theoretical model, but does it actually map or shadow what happens in real life? So it doesn't really allow for the possibility that individuals may view outcomes differently due to their reference points, treating gains and losses differently, or that some individuals may be loss averse. Prospect theory, on the other hand, individuals view outcomes not in their absolute terms, but in their relative terms. So you see them as gains or losses relative to a reference point, whatever that reference point may be, and it may be some sort of subjective innate characteristic. Behavioural economics is really in vogue at the moment. You know, you've Rich Thaler and Cass Sunstein with Nudge. There's a lot of different books around, and they're getting into, you know, policy level at this stage. But it was basically, this is the foundation, prospect theory is the foundation of behavioural economics, and it was formulated by Daniel Kahneman and Amos Tversky in the 70s, and Kahneman won the Nobel Prize in Economics for this in 2002. So basically, you have a loss or a gain, which is X, so that will either be diminishing or not. But the important parameter here is your lambda, your minus lambda on the bottom line. This is your loss aversion. So they've shown that in their studies they've looked at, the median loss aversion, i.e. comparing a gain to a loss, is 2.25 losses is treated equally to one gain. And the lambda captured this loss aversion. So this is just your basic expected utility graph. You know, your expected utility increases at a slower rate as you go to the right. This is your prospect theory graph, which is slightly different. What's important here is the kink at zero. So on the right-hand side, you have gains. On the left-hand side, you have losses. So you're treating gains differently to losses. And on the x-axis, we have our reference point. So as you move from left to the center or from right to the center, your reference point changes. So too does how you treat health utilization or something. So I've kind of gone through the reference point. An individual status quo here is determined at no cancer and a little worry. So the implications of prospect theory, which is different than expected utility theory to some extent, but in this theory too, you'd expect high worry leads to increased cancer screening, high risk of having a cancer should lead to cancer screening, but together, the interaction term is more ambiguous here because we're introducing a loss aversion parameter. So when we introduce the loss aversion parameter in our theoretical model, we actually would expect a decrease in the screening compared to those in a high worry, low risk group. Okay, so finally getting on to the empirical model. We just had a simple marginal effects following a logistic regression, just in this case a probit model. Data was extrapolated to a nationally representative population using a jackknife method, which is very similar to bootstrap. Our two dependent variables, as I said, are endoscopy in the next 5 years and FOBT in the next 2 years. We looked at this, you know, over different yearly intervals, the next year, 2 years, time, 5 years, 10 years for both, and it made no difference to our results. In terms of the explanatory variables, we were able to compare for a lot of innate characteristics and sociodemographic characteristics. We included individuals aged between 45 and 74. 45 because in 5 years' time for endoscopy, they're hitting the age of 50. And that's when the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force says you should start screening for colorectal cancer. And 5 years' time, they're 79, so asymptomatic screening is reduced at this stage. And we also left out people who have had a previous diagnosis of cancer. So these are our descriptive statistics. This is the important one. So this is our interaction term, basically. So this high worry, high risk, has a lower uptake compared to high worry, low risk. It's slightly higher for those who've had no previous screen, and there's no difference whatsoever when it comes to at least one previous screen. When you look at FOBT, we do not see the same result. I'll get onto that in a second, why we think this may be the case. And also, in our marginal effects, we were not able to include those with at least one previous screen only because our sample size is too small. But it seems that the interaction term here is slightly negative but not significant, but we couldn't say too much about that. So this is our marginal effects. We've controlled for a lot more variables than this as well, but this is the important result. So our interaction term, which between worry and risk, or chance of cancer here, is highly significant, it's negative, and it's very large. So this is not what you would expect if expected utility was happening, but it is what you'd expect if prospect theory is working. Because we're using marginal effects too, we're able to compare results quite like odds ratios across different variables. And this is quite interesting when we go to the, when I look at the next slide. If you see it well here, worry, hands down, is the most important determinant of future screening. Even more so than insurance, although there's a caveat with insurance here in that, you know, 95% of people say they have it, and we're not able to differentiate between insurance schemes. We also include actual risk, which we take from SEER data. And SEER data is based upon age, race, and gender. Previous screening, we look at endoscopy in the last 10 years and FOBT in the last two. FOBT is consistently able to determine future uptake for endoscopy and FOBT, but endoscopy in the last 10 years only influences future uptake for endoscopy, not for FOBT. So we think there's a transition from FOBT to endoscopy, but there's not really a transition from endoscopy to FOBT. So our conclusions are that prospect theory from economic modelling point of view may be more consistent with individual stated intentions. There's other theories out there like the health belief model. I saw a talk earlier on which she looked at the health belief model and it seemed to be very good too, but she didn't compare it in terms of the modelling aspect. You also have regret theory. So there's a paper I've seen recently which looked at HPV vaccines, and one of the main bases for having a HPV vaccine is that the mother or the girl themselves may regret not having it in the future. So there is other like bio behavioral economics or psychological theories out there. People with FOBT have higher intended uptake of both future FOBT and endoscopy. So we think there's some sort of transition here, moving from FOBT to endoscopy. So you've had one screen, might lower your level of worry or your level of risk aversion to move on to a more invasive screening. And subjective worry is the largest determinant of screening uptake. Our results are robust to the inclusion or exclusions of a lot of different control variables. We change our length of period of which screen intention is asked in our age group. In terms of the implications, prospect theory seems better in modelling individuals' decisions to screen. But from a public health point of view, I think the second point is the most important. So having at least one previous screen increases uptake of subsequent screens, which is what you'd expect, but it happens quite a lot. And not only does it increase uptake of subsequent screens, it may move an individual's reference point where they're not as loss averse as they were before. You know, they've gone through the procedure, it's not as bad as they thought, no cancer has been found. So it just changes the innate way screening is perceived. There also seems to be a transition from FOBT to endoscopy. So if you go down to the last point, in terms of prospect theory, there's four pillars which underpin prospect theory, and there's four other smaller pillars. But one of these is framing. So if you have a reference point which changes depending on how an individual perceives something, if you were able to move a question or frame a question in such a way, you know, that in terms of looking in terms of losses rather than gains or something, you may be able to manipulate, or maybe not coerce, but manipulate how an individual views screening. So if you're able to find these individuals who do not want an endoscopy, you know, they're loss averse, they're lower worry to have an FOBT, which, you know, you don't have to prepare for it as much. It's a lot easier to do. If they have one FOBT, there seems to be a transition from FOBT to endoscopy. So the framing of the question in such a way to these individuals may be very important. So that's me. Thank you very much.